Love it. Good morning. Did you guys all have your coffee? Are you awake? Does everybody look awake this morning, guys, up? I need you to stand with me because we're going to read God's Word. And we're going to be reading from, it's kind of cool, we're going to be reading the last book of the Old Testament, and then we're going to cruise into the New Testament with Luke. So Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 says this, God speaks. He says, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. And then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. For he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. And here it is. "And I am the Lord's servant," answered Mary. "May your words to me be fulfilled." And the angel left her. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. We come as worshipers this morning of the Most High God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Joseph, the God of Moses, the God of the prophets, the God who became flesh and dwelt among us. We come to worship you this morning, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us, that we might freely understand the things that have been given to us in your holy word. I ask, Lord, that you would free us this morning, teach us this morning, bring us comfort and courage as your children. And this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ and for his kingdom. And all those who love God would say what? You may be seated. As a follower of Jesus, have you ever been afraid? I asked this question last week. Has God ever asked you to do something that you were afraid to do? You know, there are many people out in the city of Irvine that think that you in here are weaklings, that religion is a crutch, and that Jesus is for the weak-minded. And I'm here to say that's a bunch of bunkum. Amen? To follow Jesus is for warriors. It's for warriors. What I have noticed and what I've experienced over my years, my 30 years of following Jesus, is that for me to be a follower of Jesus takes the very best of who I am as a being and then some. Has that been your experience as well? To be a follower of Christ is for warriors. It is too easy just to go along with the crowd. It is too easy to do the wrong thing. But to stand up and do the right thing, to stand up and be righteous, to stand up and do what is just, takes courage.
And to be a follower of Jesus takes courage. Whenever God asks you to join him to do something, and this is what I found in my own life, whenever I'm cruising along in my life and all of a sudden God asks me to do something, there's always a conflict within me over what I want to do or over what God wants me to do. And usually whatever it is that God wants me to do is going to require faith on my part, and usually whatever that is, there's mixed with some kind of fear in doing what God would ask me to do. Has this been your experience? It's for warriors, people. The most common command in the Bible is do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The word or the commandment, do not be afraid or fear not or some derivative of that, is found over 365 times in the Bible. For every day of the year, there is a verse in the scriptures that tells you and I, don't be afraid. And you want to know why God says that? Because he knows that if you're going to follow him, you're going to encounter battles with faith and battles with some degree of fear. Is this your Christian experience? It's mine. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Whenever you look at the Christmas story, the very first Christmas that ever happened on this earth was surrounded by fear. It was surrounded by God moving and God speaking into people's lives, God revealing himself, and as God began doing this, all those that were involved encountered fear in what God was asking them to do. From Joseph to Zechariah. Zechariah, don't be afraid, fear not. Joseph, fear not. The shepherds in the field, fear not. And for that special young lady named Mary, fear not. Fear not. Here's God's perspective. Are you ready? I want to talk about, here's God's perspective, and then here's Mary's perspective. God's perspective, in the last book of the Old Testament, is the book of Malachi. It's a wonderful book. It is the last book written in the Old Testament before God goes silent. I look at it like a Dear John letter. You ever got one of those where someone just sends you a letter and then I'm done with you? The book of Malachi is a book of God's grievances. God is angry with his people. He's angry at their unfaith in him, their disbelief in him. He's angry at their behavior and their attitude. And in the book of Malachi, God unloads. If you think that God is a bad communicator, go read the book of Malachi and then tell me if you think he's a good communicator or not, because God pours out his heart. And after God writes the book of Malachi, he goes silent for 400 years. No visions, no prophets, no dreams, no miracles, nothing. But God said in the book of Malachi, I'm going to give you a sign. There's going to be a sign of a messenger that's going to come, and that messenger is going to prepare the way for me. God says, look for this messenger of mine. God goes silent for 400 years. And after 400 years, God speaks again. God begins to speak on earth. God speaks to Zechariah. He's a priest. He's in the temple in Jerusalem, and God's angel comes to him and says, your wife Elizabeth is going to be pregnant, and she is going to bear the messenger who is John the Baptist. Someone said, John, who are you? He says, I am the one who prepares the way of the Lord. I am Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1, being fulfilled. That's who I am. God begins speaking again. God comes to Mary, to Joseph. God begins moving in humanity. God is at work in fulfilling his prophecies of his coming, okay? That's God's perspective. Here's Mary's perspective. You ready? She's pregnant. Oh, no, I'm sorry. She's engaged. Mary is engaged. Do you know what her life is about at that time, right before the angel came? What was Mary's life about? What was her perspective? What was she thinking about? What was she dreaming about? What was she reading? She was reading books like this, right? Come on, guys. She's getting married. Mary, what are you doing? I'm engaged. I've always been a bridesmaid, never a bride. Now I'm going to be a bride. I'm so happy. I'm going to be a wedding, and I'm going to be the bride, right? What is Mary doing? She's thinking about the colors of her bridesmaids. She's thinking about she's thinking about her wedding day. She's thinking about, she's probably writing her name. What will my name look like now? Mr. and Mrs. Joseph, right? This is going to be so fun. I've always liked the name James for a son. Well, maybe Jude. Maybe Jude. Jude might be a good name for a son, right? This is what Mary's life is. Mary has her life all planned out. This is what she's thinking. Imagine all that's going on in her life, and then all of a sudden God shows up and God drops the bomb, right? The bomb. Totally inconvenient. Can you imagine the swing of her emotions? I'm most favored by God. I'm going to be pregnant? That's weird. I'm a virgin. God has great plans for my life. How am I going to tell Joseph? Can you imagine? How's that conversation supposed to look anyway? Think about that. Is that inconvenient? Hey, Joseph, can I talk with you? I'm pregnant, but don't worry. It's all supernatural. And I'm still a virgin. How do you think that would go? What do you think Joseph did with that one? All right. I saw that guy down at the well looking at you. I know what's going on, right? What's this supposed to look like? Can you imagine this poor lady? Her life is doing just great. She's got it all planned out in her mind. And all of a sudden, God shows up. And God begins telling her that Messiah is coming through her. Can you imagine the swing of her emotions? I'm highly favored of God. I'm going to be pregnant and still be a virgin. God has amazing plans for my life. How am I going to tell my parents? How am I going to tell my husband to be? What's the town going to think of me? Can you imagine what this young lady had to deal with when God showed up in her life? Have you ever had an experience where you kind of wake up the next morning and you go, was that real or was that me? I've always wondered, what do you think Mary was thinking about the next morning? Did I dream that up? Was that a part of my imagination? What do you think Mary did the next day? Do you think she told her mom and dad? Do you think she told Joseph? I don't, because I think she realized they ought to looked at her as though she's nuts. And probably she was like, maybe I just dreamed the whole thing up. What would you do if you were Mary the next morning? You would do exactly what she did. At that time, Luke 1:39 says, at that time Mary got ready and hurried. I love that word. No kidding, right? She hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't miss that. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." How's that? The scripture says she hurried. She probably, and by the way, that's a long, Nazareth to Judea, that's about an hour ride at 60 miles an hour in a car. So this isn't just her skipping down the street. Mary got in a caravan or figured out some way to go visit her relatives in Judea. This was a trek for her. All the way there, what do you think she's thinking? Am I nuts? Did I really hear that? Did I really see that? She hurriedly went. And she comes into Zechariah's house. Elizabeth is there. She walks in the door. Greetings. Hey, guys, I'm here. And all of a sudden, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, begins to prophesy over Mary. Did you catch that? The Holy Spirit comes on Elizabeth and says, you're pregnant. And the baby that you're carrying is the Lord God Almighty. Before Mary can even say anything out of her mouth, what do you think's going on with Mary? Is she excited? She's probably going, dang, I didn't dream this up. It's real. It's totally real. No way. How long did Mary stay in Judea for? Anyone know? 3 months. When did the angel come to Mary? When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. So Elizabeth's 6 months pregnant, angel goes to Mary, and Mary stays how many months? 3 months. Guess what Mary saw? The birth of John the Baptist, right? She stayed and saw that baby. And after that baby was born, she goes back to Nazareth, looking like this. Three months pregnant. Does Mary have problems? Does Mary have some explaining to do? Mary, do you think Mary was looking forward to going back to Nazareth? Anyone? Can you imagine what's spinning in her mind? Now I go home. Now I tell my husband. Now I tell my parents. Now my town finds out. The beginning of the nightmare begins. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? Do you think Mary was afraid? Do you think Mary had some anxiety or some worry as she traveled back to Nazareth? Anyone? Has there ever been a time in your life when God asked you to do something that caused you fear? As a follower of Jesus, has there ever been a time when you were afraid to follow God? There's a verse in the scriptures that I gave you guys last week, and I'm going to shoot it up for you again, and it's a verse that is so dear to my heart. In my years of being a follower of Jesus, this verse just rings in my ears, and I'm sure a week doesn't go by where I don't quote it, maybe not even a day. It's a word, it's a piece of scripture that so comforts me. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And I so encourage you to memorize this verse. The verse says, for God has not given us a spirit of God has not given you and I a spirit of fear. If he hasn't given you a spirit of fear, what has he given you a spirit of? Power, love, and a sound mind. God has not given you a spirit of fear. The word fear, it's only found in the New Testament. This one time is called dilia. It's a Greek word. It means to run from the battle. God has not given any of us in here a spirit to run from the battle. Fear is not from God. To wimp out is not from God. God doesn't run. His spirit doesn't run. God has not given any of us in here a spirit to run from the battle. He's given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I pray that you would memorize this verse. For God's Spirit that dwells inside of you, God has never instructed any of you to run. Running is not from God. Running's from you. It's wrapped in fear. To be a warrior for Christ, to be a follower of Jesus, God has given you a spirit inside of you, and that spirit is a spirit to not be afraid. When I read this verse, God has not given you a spirit to run, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. I see that spirit in Mary, don't you? Did you read the text? How will this be? The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, Mary. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to be impregnated as a virgin. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to come on you. Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit comes upon Elizabeth. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. The Spirit of God, the third person of the triunity of the Godhead, is wrapped with the power of God manifested on the earth. God has not given Mary a spirit to run away. Did Mary run away through all that God asked her to do? Answer? No. She was quite brave. On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give her for marks of bravery? A 10, wouldn't you? Do you know, I'm telling you straight up, when Mary went home, she wasn't just powerful in how she dealt through this. She was loving. I promise you this. When Mary dealt with her family, the spirit that was in her was loving. And she lovingly did her best to explain to her parents what God was doing. When Mary dealt with Joseph, her spirit was loving in how she was dealing with Joseph and trying to explain to Joseph that we have a slight inconvenience in our engagement. Okay? Mary did not run from the battle. She was powerful. She was bold in how she dealt with it. She was totally loving in how she dealt with it. And people, she was of a sound mind the whole way through. Do I hear an amen? When you walk in the Spirit of God, there's a power that's involved. There's a spirit of love that's involved. I've seen a lot of people that are bold and they're jerks, right? That's not the way of the Lord. When the Spirit of the Lord is at work, there's power, there's love, and there's a sensibility to it all. And I completely see it in Mary's life. When you look at Mary, we all need to sit and stare at her and say, what a warrior princess she is. All of us in here can learn from Mary. Do I hear an amen? Right? Anybody here afraid of you following Christ? Are any of you in here today afraid of what God might be asking you to do? Hey, Mary's been there. Read the whole Christmas account. It's natural. You want to know what's the theme of the Christmas story? God is at work, and the people whom God invites him to join him in his work all deal with a degree of fear. Very natural. It's part of the Christian experience. If Mary was here today and we were to ask Mary, hey, would you have some advice for us in how we are to follow your son Jesus? All of us in here are on a journey to meet, to know, and to follow Jesus. If we were to bring Mary up here and sit her down in a chair and say, hey, Mary, could you give us some advice on how we could follow your son, meet your son, and know your son better. What do you think Mary would tell us this morning? Do you know what I think she'd say? I want you to take notes on this, and I want you to think about this. In your worship folder, there's a paper there to take notes, and I completely believe this to be so. I'd love for you to write this down, meditate on this, and think on this. I think Mary would tell us all this morning this: God's interruptions are really invitations to something greater. Mary, I believe, would tell us this morning, don't you? Hey, you know what? My life was completely interrupted when God showed up. No kidding. God's interruptions are really invitations to something greater. When God interrupts your life, God is interrupting your life, and it's really not an interruption. You shouldn't look at it that way. You need to look at it as an invitation to something greater. Mary's planning her wedding. She has her life all planned. God shows up, and her whole world is turned upside down. It was interrupted by God, right? People, it was really an invitation of a life-changing adventure in following God. Do you think Mary ever had any regrets? Do you know she still got married? She still named her son James and Jude. She still had kids. Her dreams all happened as kind of she planned them. But on top of that, there was even a bigger plan by God. Because God chose this woman to bring the promise of the Messiah into the world. Her Savior came from her own womb. Think about that. Isn't that awesome? The one who paid for her sins and reconciled her to God, she gave birth to the Messiah, the Son of God. The interruptions that God had in her life was really invitations to something greater. Has that ever happened to you? Has God ever interrupted your life for something greater? John just came up here and spoke to us about the I-320. If you've heard John's testimony, a few years ago, John kept hearing about us going on these missions trips to the Philippines and visiting these places where the poorest of poor people dwell, friends. And John kept thinking, maybe I should go. It was an interruption of his summer to go. But you want to know what it really was? He'll tell you. It was an invitation by God to go and do something greater. Has God ever interrupted your life? And in that, it's really an invitation to something greater. Last week, I shared that I was a kid that had just come out. I was a young believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was going to my very first church. I'm in my early 20s. Mission Hills Church in Mission Viejo on Alicia Boulevard. I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden they called out for people to help in the youth program. And I'm afraid. I'm not going to help out in the youth program. My cousin says, well, maybe I think I might go help. I said, well, if you go help, I'll go help. He goes, and for one whole month, I stayed for like 6-8 years. That was an interruption in my life, I'll tell you. But it wasn't. It was an invitation by God to doing something greater. Has God ever interrupted your life? I was talking to a family. We just finished our growth groups here at the church. We've taken a break. We're going to restart again in January. Family comes up to me. Pastor Frank, when you told us about growth groups, we didn't want to go to growth groups. We don't have time for growth groups. We're barely lucky we can make it to church on Sunday. You keep talking about growth groups. Finally, we go to growth groups. What a blessing. What a blessing. Pastor Frank, our life has just been changed as we get together week to week and sit with our brothers and sisters and discuss the message and share our lives. It's an interruption, but it was really an invitation to something greater. I was thinking about this, and this is probably a stupid analogy, but here it comes. It's a story of my life that's lame. When I was in high school, I was a part of the Motorhead crowd. You understand that? So there, we had the Socs and the Geeks and the Jocks and the Poindexters. And I mean, in high school, you're all categorized that. You had the druggies, right? I was a part of the Motorhead crowd. I was a part of the kids that hung out in the auto shop, and we were the ones doing street racing and getting drunk and racing hot rods. That was my world, okay? And God took me out of this world, and I became a follower of Jesus with a really cool Corvette that was really fast. But I was always the quest to make it faster. And I don't think any of you probably understand what I'm about to say, but I was saving up to buy what was called a B&M supercharger. A supercharger is what you put on top of it replaces the intake manifold on your 350 Chevy engine, and you put it on top of that, and you put the carburetor on top, and what it does is it forces fuel and air into the combustion chambers, and just by bolting on this little mini B&M supercharger, I was going to be bolting on about another 125 to 150 more horsepower to my car and another 100 foot-pounds of torque, and I was saving for it. We're in church one day, and the pastor, it's 1987, and he says, "I'm going to Israel on a study tour. Who would like to go? Guess how much it costs? It's going to cost me my supercharger." It was $1,500 to go to that trip, and I had, the supercharger was going to cost me about $1,500, and I had about $1,200 saved up for it. When he made that announcement, it was an interruption in my world. He interrupted my train of thought because I was going to spend this money on this. And it was a questionable component for my car, and it was going to get me in trouble. And the police would have looked at this and said, "What's this?" So I'm on my sanctification journey. I still am. So I remember my buddy John. I'm down in Dana Point, and I'm struggling over this. And I said, "Man, John, I'd love to go walk in the land of Jesus. I've been a follower of Jesus now for 2 years. And I said, "Man, I'd love to go walk in the land of Jesus, but I'd love to get the supercharger. Which one do I do?" And my buddy John, he says, "Well, Frankie," he goes, "what do you think Jesus would do?" I went to Israel in 1987, and then I went to Israel in 1996, and we led an Israel trip in 2000, and 2006, and 2008, and 2010, and 2012, and 2014, and 2016, and by the grace of God, we'll lead another one in 2018. God speaking into my plans and how I spent my money was an interruption of what I wanted to do and how I was planning on spending my money. God speaking into that was an interruption. It wasn't an interruption. You know what it was? It was an invitation to something greater. Greater. Me doing that one thing, I've taken over 100 people, led over 100 people to the land of Jesus, and it all started by God interrupting me not putting a racing part in my car. Has God ever interrupted your world? I'm telling you straight up, when God interrupts your world, it's an invitation. Mary would tell us this morning. My brothers and my sisters, Mary would tell us today, "Let me tell you, if you want to follow my son Jesus, I think that's awesome." And you should, because he's God Almighty in human flesh. If you want to follow my son Jesus, then I want you to remember this. When God interrupts your plans, don't look at it as an interruption. Look at it as an invitation to something greater, because that is what happened in my life. And if you follow Jesus, that's going to happen in your life too. Alex and Nina are right now over in our youth program. We just honored them a few weeks ago. Pastor Danny put a call out, "Hey, I need some help in the youth program," and Alex and Nina have been there. Go ask them. They've been now volunteering in the youth group now for about 2.5 years with Pastor Danny. Go ask them if that's an inconvenience. They'll tell you. It was an invitation to something greater. It's changed our lives. When God calls you to serve, don't be afraid. When God takes you out of your comfort zone, don't be afraid. Because he's really got something mighty for your life. Mary would tell us this. Right, number two. Here's note number two. You ready for this one? God's interruptions usually take us out of our comfort zone. Mary would tell us this. But she would say, "Don't be afraid, because the Holy Spirit is with us." The Holy Spirit is with us. The same Spirit that was with Mary is with you and I. When I was volunteering in the youth program, I had a small core group of kids. I was a junior high intern, or a core group leader. I was an intern of that, and then I became a core group leader, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year. And the youth pastor asked me, "Hey, Frank, I want you to teach on Sunday in the youth group." Do you know what I told Pastor Daniel Hahn? No. because I'm afraid to speak in front of people. I will never speak in front of all these youth kids. Keep me in my core group. That's just fine, but don't ever ask me to speak in front of people because I'm afraid to speak in front of people. Don't be afraid when God calls you to do something. God has not given you a spirit of what? Fear. If he hasn't given you a spirit of fear, then what has he given you? A spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. The God spirit that dwells inside of you and I is a spirit of power. What can you do with God inside of you? Anything, right? Do you think God will ever ask you to do something and not give you the power to do it? Anyone? What kind of God is that? Hey, Mary, I need you to, but by the way, I'm not going to help you. What? How's that going to be? Well, you need to give birth to a virgin, a baby, and you're going to be a virgin, but I'm not going to help you. What kind of God is that? That's not how it plays out, people. God tricked me. All he did was take my little core group and make it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. To all of a sudden, my core group became the college group. We have 64 people, and I'm speaking, and God just kept making the group bigger little by little. And I'm not afraid anymore. Don't be afraid. Mary would tell you this. When God calls you out of your comfort zone, don't be afraid, because the same Holy Spirit that God gave her is in you. Have you ever been sharing Christ and all of a sudden you start talking about Jesus and you go through anxiety and fear? All of a sudden somebody starts challenging you in your faith, or someone starts talking to you, well, I used to believe this or that. Have you ever been in these conversations and all of a sudden you begin speaking to these people and all of a sudden verses start coming out of your mouth that you have no idea where that came from? You have a boldness that starts popping out of you and you're going, what is that all about? Have you ever had this experience happen to you before? It's wild. Do you want to know what that is? It's the Holy Spirit inside of you. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you. Listen to this. Jesus says these words. Luke 12. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. God says, hey man, if you're going to be bearing witness to me, don't worry about it. The Spirit of God is going to help you in that. Has that ever happened to you before? Has this verse ever become a reality in your life? Listen to this. Jesus says this. This is a good authority when Jesus says this. Jesus says this in John 14. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I say to you. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to bring to our remembrance things that God has spoken into us. When you can put this in your mind, you are preparing your mind for the Holy Spirit to be able to bring this out of your mind and into reality. He will bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. That's how the disciples are able to write the New Testament with such authority. They were writing Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're writing. And the Holy Spirit is bringing to their remembrance the things Jesus said. But I'm telling you, as a New Testament saint in the 21st century, the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you brings to your remembrance things. When you are in the process of doing kingdom work, the Spirit of God is involved. He's not left you as an orphan. He's given you a helper. Does that comfort you? It comforts me. Point number three. Mary would tell us this. God's Spirit fell on me, Mary would say. God's Spirit fell on Elizabeth, and God's Spirit dwells inside of all of you. Jesus says in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. Him, the Holy Spirit, is a being. It's a personage. But you know him because he abides with you. He will abide in you. When the Spirit of God comes in your life, It's at the moment of salvation. The Bible says, after hearing the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in the Holy Spirit of promise. And the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit because God is holy. And God cannot dwell inside of you until you've been made holy. And that's what Jesus did for you on the cross, friends. Jesus took all your sin, all your shame, all your guilt. He carried it upon himself. And he who knew no sin became sin on your behalf, so that you might become the righteousness of God. Once God has cleansed you of your sin, the Spirit of God dwells inside of you, and that Spirit is called the Holy Spirit. And the only way the Holy Spirit can dwell in you is once you've been made holy. And the only way you're being made holy is by the Lord Jesus Christ himself and what he did for you on the cross. He paid for your sins because you couldn't afford it. He reconciled you to the Father. And your sins will never be counted against you because what he has done for you on the cross. It's called the good news. Once he did that and he made you righteous and holy, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. Can I tell you this? I really believe this. If Mary was here today, she would tell you this. You are more than you know. You are more than you know. Merry Christmas. Okay, so you're having fun. You're putting up your lights, putting a tree. We're celebrating Christmas. Can I tell you straight up? Christmas was a very scary time. Christmas was a time of God moving on the earth, and God's people being invited to join him in what he's doing. And whenever he invited them, he needed to calm them down because they were scared. They were scared. Be not afraid. Hey, Christian, you are called as a witness of Christ. Hey, Christian, you are called to be a witness of Christ. You are called to be a witness of who Jesus is in your life. Jesus calls you to share him, to be bold in your faith. Does that scare you? Who are you most afraid of telling that you're a Christian? Who are you most afraid of? Why? Why are you afraid? Does the people at your work know that you're a follower of Jesus? Does your neighborhood know that you're a follower of Jesus? Does people in your class, in your school, know that you're a follower of Jesus? What are you afraid of? How they might think about you? Joseph next week will tell us about that. Joseph was a little afraid. How are people going to think about me? You don't care about what people think about you, do you? Yeah, we do. That's where the fear comes in. How about not being afraid? God has not given you in this room a spirit to wuss out, to wimp out. God has not given you a spirit to run from the battle. God has given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Can I encourage you? Mary would tell you this. When Mary heard it all, she said, I am the Lord's servant. Whatever God wants me to do, I'll do. Would you please pray that prayer this week? I am the Lord's servant. Whatever God wants me to do, I'll do. Would you be willing to pray that prayer? I am the Lord's servant. Whatever God wants me to do, I'll do. Would you be willing to do that? God, is there anybody you want me to invite me? Do you want me to invite somebody to the Christmas Eve service, or Pastor Frank's going to tell the gospel, share the story of Christ? God, is there anybody you want me to invite? God, is there anybody you want me to be loving toward this week? Is there anybody you want me to give? Maybe there's somebody I need to share the love of Jesus with. Maybe there's somebody down the street from me that just lost his job and I need to go help that guy get some Christmas presents for his kids. God, I'm open. I am your servant. Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do. Would you all be willing to pray that prayer this week? Because that's what a warrior does. I want to ask for the worship team to come up here, and we're going to sing two songs this morning. Great songs. One is a song just telling the Spirit of God that the ministry of God's Spirit is welcome in my life. The Bible says that once the Spirit of God dwells in you, you've got choices. You can either quench God's Spirit, you can grieve the Spirit of God, or you can be filled or be controlled by God's Spirit. This is a great song of Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And I want you just to sing this song with me today. And be reminded as you're singing this song that you're singing, I welcoming God's power to be a part of my life today. I don't know what you're afraid of. I don't know what anxieties you have. I don't know what worries are in your life. But I'm telling you this, that's normal. But God's given you power. From there, we're going to be singing a great song called What a Beautiful Name It Is, the Name of Jesus. In this church, we practice James chapter 5 after the message. There's a biblical mandate in James chapter 5 that says if anybody in the church needs prayer, that needs a touch of God, that has spiritual needs, physical needs, financial needs, to come forward and have the leaders of the church pray for you. If you're here today and you are just gripped with fear, if you're here today and you're like, I need someone to pray for me because faith doesn't control me, fear does, then we would encourage you during these next two songs, two things are going to happen. Our church is going to worship God in these songs, and we're going to be inviting people to come forward and receive prayer if you need it in your life. Because I'm telling you this right now. Hey, Mary. Hey, if there's Marys out there, God's put a call in your life and you're afraid, that's normal. Let us pray for you, Mary. Maybe you need courage to be the person that God's called you to be. Hey, Mary, if you're here today, come forward and receive prayer. Hey, Joseph, you here today? You afraid? Come forward and let us pray for you. I'm going to ask for Pastor Vince to come up here and pray with me. My brother Mike, come up here. Dr. Shaner's in the house. If the doc is here, I'd love for him to come up and pray with us. Up in the balcony, we have Pastor Graham's up there. And Mike and Pat, you're coming up here. Where's my beautiful bride, Cinda? She's got to pray with me. Who's in the balcony? Is the child's up there? Pastor Graham's heading up that way, you guys. You're going to be blessed. Our Father who is in heaven, you are mighty, you are holy, you are awesome, you are real, you are here, and you are with us. God, you are amazing. You are powerful. Your ways will never be thwarted. Your will never be stopped. We, as your people this morning, are learning from Mary. What a brave young lady. The Spirit of the Lord came upon her, and she showed great boldness, wonderful love, and she was sensible. God, if there are people here today that you wish to touch, God, if there are people here today that need to say yes to Jesus because they've never accepted Christ in their life, God, if there is people here today that just need a touch of your Holy Spirit, if there are people here today that you want them to come forward and receive prayer for whatever it is in their life, God, I pray that you would give them the boldness and the faith to walk down here. And Lord, we ask that you would manifest yourself in this church, that you would show yourself here through signs and wonders, through miracles and healings, through answered prayers. God, would you just continue to remind us that you are with us today and you are mighty to save. Thank you, Lord, that you break chains and you heal bodies and you set captives free. May your ministry be upon us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.